Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. We begin a new perek, second perek of Chulin. It's Daf Chozayin Amud Aleph, right on top of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Sheichet Echad Bo'if. So a fellow does Shechita, he cuts through one. One means one of the two simanim, windpipe, food pipe. So one of the pipes have been cut through. Hashechet echad it's by a bird, or ushnayim b'behema. We cut through both simanim if it's an animal. In both cases, we say shechitas ekshera. As we're going to learn later, the behema, due to its stronger life force, needs a more extensive shechita in order to terminate that life force. The Gemara later will tell us that a behema, a chaya, was created from the earth, so it has a stronger constitution. Hence, a more drastic termination process versus the oif, whose life force is on a lower, on a lesser level, in which case the act of shechita needs to be less. So less is needed to terminate that weaker life force, so to speak. Okay. So hence we have these two procedures. By a bird, it's a lesser shechita than by the behemah. One siman by the oif is enough, versus two by the behemah. Shechitas ekshera. In both cases, it works. Now v'rubei shel echad kamayu. By cutting through most of the siman, it's considered like it's fully cut. Right. We know that. Anywhere in the Torah, we say Rubai Kekulai. Most, the majority, counts as though the entire thing was done. Rabbi the Omer, specifically when it comes to birds, Ache Yishchot Es Havridim. You must make sure to cut through the Vridim, the veins, the arteries in the neck area. I think more later tells us we're talking about birds specifically because he's going to they tend to roast the entire thing as one. So just to ensure that the blood, that you're not going to get involved in eating blood, it's not a matter of the enhanced shechita. It's about just practically to get out the to drain out the blood, lest he come to eat the blood. Mishnah continues. Chatzi echad ba'if. What if he only cut through half the siman of the oif, which is not enough? Or the echad b'chetzi b'behema, one and a half by the behema. In both cases, shechita osei psula, because he hasn't done enough of a shechita. But if it's a roiv echad ba'if, the majority of the pipe by the oiv, or v'roiv shnayim b'behema, the majority of the two simanim by behema, in this case, it's okay. Now the Mishnah began with hashechet. Hashechet sounds like, well, if it's done, you know, but the evidence works. Instead of something like, you know, ketzad, shechet, and how does one go approach the shechita process? So the choice of words, hashechet, sounds like it's the evidence in. It's only after the fact we accept that the chatchil loy, but preferably shouldn't be doing this type of shechita. Ask the Gemara, what's wrong? I mean, he's doing one by the oif and two by the behema. I mean, how more can you go? How far can you go? Shnayim behema. So, for instance, the two of the behema, that's as much as you can do. You can't do more than two, right? The chatchil loy, why is that not initially preferred? I mean, how much do you want us to do? Ad kama lishchet v'leitl. How much should you keep on cutting? Why does the Mishnah refer to it as a bidiyevet, something which is not ideal? Two tirutzim. One answer is, you're right, a'echad ba'if. The bidiyevet expression refers to the single one by the bird, which is not ideal because he might not end up doing it, you know, properly, so better to do two. Yiboyisim, another answer is, aruba shlachot kamoyu. It's going on the fact that the Mishnah allows the majority cut. Well, that's also sometimes a matter of, you know, inches, a matter of, I should say, millimeters, and he might just miss it. So better not to rely on the roiv factor, just cut it through entirely. Amar Rav Kahana, minayin l'shechita shimenat tzavar. We're so accustomed to assuming that the shechita procedure takes place at the tzavar, at the neck, at the throat. How do we know that is the location? Shenamar, we have a pasuk. V'shachat. So shach means to can be learned as meaning referring to a bending down. bending over. V'shachat es ben habakar. We learn at Rasha. V'makam sheshach, by the neck, by the throat, where the animal lowers its head and bends down. Chateyu, that's where you do the shechita. Rashi learns chateyu either means to be machsher, to like a hechsher, to enable the food, the meat for consumption, or chateyu means to clean out, benakeyu, to cleanse out, to drain out the blood. So where is that? B'makam sheshach, at the throat, at the neck, where he tends to bend over. Ask the Gemara, my dahai chateyu. But how do we know that the term chateyu is lishna de tchuyuhu, refers to cleansing and draining? The chsib, we have a pasuk, chites habayis. This is the home that had a nega. So you apply the whole, you know, procedure with the birds and you spring, and that cleanses the home of its impurity. So you see, v'chite means to cleanse, to make it devoid of, right? V'b'yisem, another source, mihocha techateini be'eza be'etar. The Vada Melech is asking Hashem, cleanse me with the ezav, with the grass, and I will be pure. So we see techateini means to make devoid of, to empty of, to cleanse of. V'me'yom is navoy. So the shkita takes place where he's bent over, perhaps at the tail, which is always bent. The answer is shach. The pasuk speaks about something which gets bent by choice. Mechlal shazak of beinan. Apparently, we're speaking about something which is typically upright and it's sort of bent down on occasion, which is the neck. V'ha shach v'aymidu, as opposed to the tail, which is always in a state of being bent, so that doesn't qualify. Maybe maznai, perhaps the ear area, which is something the animal will bend occasionally. Says the more, it can't be at the ear. Because the shechit is meant to produce blood which contains the life force of the animal. Rashi brings, because by kachin we find that they use the blood which is called dam hanefesh, and it's clearly not just residual blood. It has to be blood coming out of the simanim, the arteries, the vein, where it's an expression of the life force of the animal. Veleka, by the ear, you don't have that. Ve'ema dekarav asla dam hanefesh. Okay, perhaps you cover both areas. You start at the ear to accommodate the shach requirement, and then you cut and cut until you get to the simanim where you access the dam hanefesh. That's an unresolved question. This is another question. What about the other requirements of shechita? The other halachis, shehiya, pausing, right? If one pauses during the shechita, it disqualifies the shechita. So all these halachis, they aren't articulated in the pasuk. Derasa, not to press down too hard. Chalada, not to hide the knife. Hagrama, not to veer out of the range. V'ikar, not to unhinge the simanim. Minalan, how do we know those are required elements? Oh, Ella, it must be Gemara. It's learned by way of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It was passed down through Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. So once that is sourced in Gemara, Shechita ben Atzav, Nami Gemara. Likewise, the precise location of Shechita, which is at the throat, is also based on Gemara. Nu, Ukra L'Mai Asa. So why do we need that pasuk of Veshachat? To look at Shavi Gistra, simply to tell us, there's no need to cut all the way through to actually decapitate the animal, to cut through the backbone, etc. Just do the simanim and stop. You don't have to go further than that. So you don't need to slice it through. That's the message in the pasuk of Veshachat. So again, in terms of precise location, that's Gemara. In terms of the other requirements in halachas, Gemara. The pasuk is telling you, chateyu, just do a cut to cleanse, to drain it of its blood, and that's enough. You don't need to cut, to slice it all the way through. Okay, next pasuk. Rav Yemer amamiha amakra. I'll bring you the pasuk regarding the precise location of shechita. The pasuk says, v'zavachta, in describing the act of shechita. Vizav, zav means to flow, to trickle. Oh, that's the location of shechita. Mimakim shezav v'chateyu. Do the chateyu, do the cut at the neck, throat area, which would trigger a flow of blood. My mash madai chateyu lishna demitbru. How do we know the chateyu means to break, to cut? Chsiv al tirav al teches. Don't have fear. Don't be broken. Ve'memechaitme, perhaps at the nostrils, which flow. No, zavali de chita ba'inan. The pasuk is telling you that the chita, the cut, will trigger the flow, which is at the neck. V'hai, but this nostril area, zav me'ilu, which just flows naturally. So it doesn't qualify. Ve'ima me'liba, perhaps, injure the heart, which will trigger a flow. V'su, furthermore, what about the other requirements? Shehiya, the rasa, chalada, hagrama v'ikar, minol. How do we know those requirements? We don't find them mentioned in this pasuk. Ela gemara, it must be through gemara. Likewise, The shechita at the neck is also gemara. No, ukrol mayasa. So why do we need this pasuk of zavacht? Once again, to tell you that it's a limited cut. You don't have to slice it all the way through the lishavi gistra. Third pasuk, v'rabishmolotan, v'shachat. The word v'shachat is spelled with a shin, but it could be read like a sin. Atikir v'shachat. Instead of reading v'shachat, ela v'sachat. V'sachat means sach, where he emits his sounds, where he speaks. V'makom shesach. Chateu do the shechita at the neck, mouth area. Maybe we'll shine it perhaps at the tongue, which is instrumental in directing the sounds and formulating his sounds. Rashi brings a Mishnah Bechiris. V'shenital rov ha-medaber. But l'shoina, even by an animal, the lashon is called a medaber, because it formulates his sounds. So basically, do the shechita there. No, ba'in dam ha-nefesh. Well, again, the point is to extract dam ha-nefesh, which is not present by the tongue, rather by the neck area. Well, like, ve'im the kurva azlat ha-nefesh. No, perhaps you cut at the tongue, you start, and then you continue on to the throat area. V'su, next question, what about shehiya? How do we know those halachas? El Gemara must be based on halacha Mishmei Sinai. So then back to location as well. Shechita menatzav nami. That too is learned from Gemara. No, so why do we need a pasuk of a sachat? To tell you, you don't need to cut them all the way through, just make a limited cut through the siman. We have now a brice on Teres Kayhanim that sources the shechita location from a different pasuk. This Sani, Rabbi Chiya Amar. Minayin l'shchita b'natzavar. How do we know shchita takes place at the throat? Shenemar, we have a pasuk by the carbon oil. Va'aruchu b'nei aron ha-kayhanim sanasachim. The kayhanim will set up the part in the sachim, the cut up parts of the oil on the mizbeach. And the pasuk continues and specifies es ha-roish ves ha-poder. Also the head and also the glob of fat. Shein tam alayma, there's no need to elaborate es ha-roish ves ha-poder, because why would I think they're different than the other parts of the animal that are now delivered to the Mizbeach? Matam alayma es ha-roish ves ha-poder, what's the point of this extra pasuk? V'aloi roish u-peder b'chlal kol ha-nitzachim hayu. You would think roish and poder are included, a part of the parts of the animal. Loma yotzu, why were they singled out? V'shenamah, the answer is like this. I would think perhaps they're not delivered to the Mizbeach. Why? Because only the parts of the animal that had been flayed, that had been skinned. Shlishanam, the pasuk says, v'hivsha desa oila. Skin the oila, v'nitach, and then cut it up, and then it says, deliver the cuts to the mizbeach. Perhaps, ainli ela nesachem. Perhaps, you only deliver the parts, shiyashna mechalaf shata, that had been skinned. What about the head, which is not skinned? Munayin l'rabbi says, aroi shekvar hutas. What about the head of the animal, which had been severed by the shechita? And is no longer flayed. Rashi brings the Gemara Zvachim that the head of the animal is delivered directly to the Mizbeach with the hair and the skin. So perhaps, since the head is not skinned, likewise, he's not labeled as a netach, as a part, because the pasuk correlates them. It says, v'hivshet es ha'ilo, skin it, and then v'nita chayisa, cut into pieces. Indicating only the ivarim, the parts that are going to undergo the hefshet, the skinning process, are labeled as nesachim, but the head, which doesn't have skinning, is not really technically called a netach, a part, amongst the other parts. Hence, the pasuk comes back and says, you know, deliver all the parts, including the head. Tam alaymar, that's why the pasuk comes back, es roishav es pidroi v'orach. Deliver and set up even the head and the glob of fat. Now, midika amar sat roishav kvar hutas. The brisa continues. The very fact that the brisa identifies the head as a separate entity, due to the fact that it was severed, and that separates it from the rest of the animal, which needs hefshet, and this doesn't, right? Because only the rest of the animal, which needs to be cut up, that needs to go through Hefshet, but the head, which is already separate, already its own part, is in a different world, a different category. The fact that the Braisa sets it apart, clearly that's what the Shechita is done. Hence, we have a separate head. Okay, so clearly, Shechita takes place at the neck. Fine, so that's the source for the Shechita's location. Now, just a side question on the choice of wording of the Braisa, the choice of Psukim. You see, if you look back at the lashon of the Braisa, it's interesting. The Braisa sort of shifts in terms of the Psukim that it brings. Initially, the Braisa says, what's the point of the words as a roish v'sapader? Oh, because otherwise I wouldn't know that the head is included. And the Braisa comes back with a different pasuk. Similar wording, but a slightly different pasuk. It's Talmud Lema, es roish v'es pidroi, which is a totally different pasuk. One is pasuk ches, and one is pasuk yud beis. So why this shift? The Tana pasach b'roishu poter began with presenting the first pasuk, Messiah, and concluded with a different pasuk b'roishu pidroi. Hakikam of the Braisa means like this. First, the basic question: Hakikam minayin l'rabis es roish shikar hutas. How do we know that the head, despite the fact that it's been severed, still will be arranged on the mizbeach? Tamar loyim es roishu sapoter. Okay, so that's for that. Now, v'roishoy upidroy lamali. Now, what about the next pasuk? The next reference. Why does the pasuk refer to roish and pidroy as separate again? What's the message here? Let me boil it. The science needed for a whole different thing. To teach you how to arrange it, and what format you deliver it. Minayin l'roish upadr shekoydim l'chohan asochem. How do we know that roish and pidroy are delivered before the rest of the animal? First comes the roish and the pidroi, and then right. First you set that up arach, and then the rest. Okay, so we're addressing two different things. Number one, that you delivered it, period, and number two, it comes first. We turn to the days. So we understand why the Torah has to call out the roish by name, because perhaps I would think it's in a different category. But why call out the pudr, the fat? Fat is just like any other part of the animal. Of course, it's delivered to the mizbeach. Upeder kama, the kos rachman alamali. So the first pudr, right in the first pasuk. What's the point of mentioning pudr? Of course, it's delivered to the mizbeach. It's needed as follows. How does he deliver the head? He takes the potter, the glob of fat, and covers the cut on the head, the base hashchita, and that's how he delivers it to the mizbeach. Derech kovet shel mal, in a way that's respectful for the yeshchina, for the mizbeach. And that's what the pasuk is teaching. Package it together and bring it up as one. Continues the Gemara. Still on the search for the source of the Mokim Hashchita, Vahai Tana, actually the following Tana, Maisla Mihacha, has the following source, which teaches us the Mokim Hashchita, the Sanya. Zoyis Teiras Abayim Avayif. This is the Pasuk in the discussion about Tuma. So an animal that dies is an Avelu. If you touch it or carry it, you become Tummy. A bird as well has similar halachis. And the Pasuk seems to bundle them together. Zoyis Teiras Habeim Avayif. This is the procedure applicable to Beim Avayif. But they're so far apart. They're not comparable. Why is the Torah packaging them together? V'chib Ezei Torah. Now, with respect to which procedure, which halachis, Shav Sabeim Avayif, is a Beim similar to Avayif, and vice versa, Avayif Beim. They're so different in terms of their ability to be Matami. Look, a Beim, when he dies, Matama B'magav Masa. Transmits tumah by way of touching it, by way of carrying it. That doesn't apply to a bird. Oif einu mitamei b'magav b'masa. On the other hand, Oif has his own unique way of imparting tumah. Mitamei b'gadama b'sabliya. If one swallows a dead bird, for the kosher dead bird, while he's swallowing it, his b'gadama become tummy. That's how he gets tumah. Which is not something that applies to a behema. Behema einu mitamei b'gadama b'sabliya. So why does the Torah link them? They're so different. Beis Leitayra, with respect to what? Halachis. Shavsa, Is there an equality between Behema La'oif, Vayif La'Behema La'Emelech? The Pasuk is teaching us like this, regarding a different halacha altogether. Ma Behema B'Shchita, Af'if B'Shchita, just like you do Shchita on a Behema. How do we know? Says Rashi. Look in the Pasuk in Vayikra Aleph, V'Shachat has been a Bakar. You do Shchita on the Oila, presumably it's not considered a dead animal, it's not Matame, otherwise it's not a carbon, right? Not, so, the fact that Shchita is successful for a Behema, now we draw that over to the Oif as well. Again, so ma behema b'shchita, just shchita is the appropriate procedure for the behema, af oif b'shchita, likewise for the oif. Okay, so we're going to compare it, perhaps compare it all the way. Ima lahalam b'rev shnayim. So perhaps just like by the behema, you have to do a full cut through the two, most of the two pipes. How do we know? Rashi brings, based on the earlier pasuk, which speaks about the head of the oila being severed, so apparently it's a full severance. So maybe af oif b'shchita, af kan b'rev shnayim, perhaps by the bird as well, you need two. Simonim tamaloimar, zois, right? Zois, teiras a behema va'oif. Zois is a limiting term. No. A behema needs a full cut, but not a bird. But we haven't yet discovered the location. Here comes Rabbi Elazar Omer. Be'ezei teira, he asks the same question. Be'ezei teira shafs a behema la'oif. Life of behema with respect to what? Is the behema comparable to the oif and vice versa? Lo'im love to tell you. Ma'oif yachshere min atzaba, just like by a bird, we know for a fact. You do the shchita minat tzaver, you enable it from the tzaver, as she says, malika. We know that malika is at the back of the neck. Af behema chsher minat tzaver. Likewise, the procedure applied to behema is a similar procedure, in a similar location at the throat, at the neck. Ima lahal mimul oirif. Well, if they're comparable, compare them all the way. So just like by the bird, it's mimul oirif, which is the section of the back of the neck, which is near the back of the head. Afkan mimul oirif. Perhaps the shchita of an animal also takes place at that location. Tamleima umalak esrei shay mimul oirif privately abdul. Malika is a specific, exclusive process by the bird. Reisha shel zev mimul oirif. Only by the bird, it's done in the back. Ven reisha shel achim mimul oirif, as opposed to the shchita by the behema, which is not at the back of the neck, rather at the front. No, Rabbi Elazar, Zeis my avodle. One last question. So basically, according to Blazer, rather than the oif learning from the behema, it's the behema learning from the oif. So the given is the oif, because the malika is the neck area, and the behema as well has to be shtechted over there. So what's the point of the word zois in the pasuk? Ilav zois, if not for zois, I mean, I would say, compare the behema to the oif all the way. Ma'if b'simen echad, just like the oif is shechted by one simen. Af behema b'simen echad. How do we know, by the way, Rashi brings, because by the malika of the chatas bird, we see v'layata, you don't fully separate, it's only one siman. So I would think the same applies to a shchita of an animal, af behemem b'siman echad. Oh, kasa rachmona zois, comes the word zois, it says no. This limitation is limited to a oif, only by the oif. One siman is enough, but the behemem requires two. Okay, so at this point we have no less than five, right, sources for the Makam HaShchita. We have Makam Sheshach, we have Makam Shezov, we have Makam Shesach, we have the Raya from the Roish of the Oila, and now we have the comparison to the behemah on the Oif. Tani Bar Kapara. So we have that pasuk again, Zoyus Teiras HaBehemah V'Oif. Okay, so the pasuk relates to behemah and Oif, and then continues on to speak about fish. So you have behemah on one side, fish on the other, and oif in the middle. What's the message? Hitel akos of la'oif, the Torah placed, inserted birds, between the behemahs and the fish. Now we know a behemah needs a full shchita of two simanim. We know that a fish doesn't even need shchita at all. You just gather it, you take it out of the water, you detach it from its life source, which is water. Rambam Pirush Mishnah says that the dogim are miyisoid hamayim. They're primarily water. The water element is primary. In which case, by fish, in which case, if you just detach them, they have to be in water. If you detach them, take them out of the water, it's an instant disengagement and detachment, disconnection from their life source. So by dogim, you don't need more to terminate their life. You don't need an act of shechita. On the other hand, by behema, which is a very strong life force, you need a full shechita. What about birds? So l'chay b'shnei simon, yeah, sure, you can't obligate a full cut by a bird, shekvar hukash l'dogim, because you see it's next to the fish. The Torah puts it next to the fish to indicate you don't have to have such a strong act of shechita to sever its life source. On the other hand, the point of Balei Klumi, you can't just get away with nothing without an act of Shechita because of its comparison to the animals. Shekvar Hukash Lebehema. Okay, so what do? You draw a compromise. Hechsheru b'simen echa, the hechsher of the bird, is by cutting one simen. Due to the fact that he has a weaker life force than an animal and a stronger life force than a fish. Dagum d'lav b'nei shechita ninu v'nala, but we're assuming that fish do not need to be shechted. How do we know? Where's the source for that? Ilema mishum d'chsev, is it because of the pasuk, which says, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Hashem, how could I provide and feed the nation? Am I going to shech the animals? Am I going to gather all the fish? So he speaks about animals being shechted. So the reference to animals is shechita, and the reference to fish is merely yasef, gathering. Apparently, just gathering them out of the water is enough. If that's the case, what about the pasuk by these special miraculous birds, the slav that came flying in? The Ksivur also says they were gathered by Asvasas love. Hachinami, here too, you're going to say gathering is enough to enable them for consumption without a shechita. Hachinami, the lab shechita. But Amos, you just told me a minute ago that birds need to be shechted. Amos, you can't just get away with nothing by birds. You have to do a shechita because of its connection to the animals in the pasuk. So once we see vayasfu by the birds, doesn't necessarily mean literally just collecting them. So perhaps by the fish, collection is not enough either. No, you can't compare the two psukim. It's a different context. You see, by the pasuk just cited by the slav, yeah, it mentions the term asifa, but it's not within a broader context. There's no reference to other animals to sort of contrast and say, well, this is shechita and this is asifa. As opposed to the first pasuk, hacha, where it says, hatoyne bakar yishachit. And in contrast to the shechita by the tzoyne bakar, it says, d'gei ayam, yeyah asif. Clearly, the Torah is differentiating. Hacha ksiv asifa b'mokam shechita d'achrini. Here, the pasuk refers to asifa by the fish, in the very place, the very same discussion, the very same context, where it refers to the animals being shechted. So it's a clear contrast between animals that need shechita and fish, merely asifa. Continues the Gemara. Dorash, the following was taught by Oiver Glila, that was his name. He explains like this, that the required act of shechita is relative to the level of its life force, as we explained before. So you have the behemah on the top, Shenivras Min HaYabasha, created from earth, giving it a stronger constitution, a stronger life force. Hechsher B'Shnei Simanim. In which case the shechita has to cut through both simanim to terminate, to end that life force. On the other side of the spectrum, we have dog and fish, which are weaker to begin with. Shenivrim namayim, created from the water. Hechsherim like klum, you don't need an act of shechita, just gathering them and disconnecting them from their source does the job. Rashi says, "Minei abasha, by the animals, l'fichach yesh lechiyus bari b'chazak, the animal coming from the abasha, stronger chiyus." As opposed to the fish. What about the bird, the fowl? Fowl is somewhere in between. Oif shenivrim and arkak, created from mud, which is a mix of both of these elements, the earth and the water. So therefore, it's somewhere in the middle. It has a stronger life force than fish, but weaker than the behemoths. Hechsheru b'simen echad, so one simen is enough. Amar av shmol kapatko, teda. You can even see it, practically, that there's a connection between the birds and the fish. Birds, the fowl, have these scales on their feet, similar to the fish. Apparently, they're related to that category. V'oid sha'aloi. Rashi explains, v'oid here is another question that was asked to Rabbi Gamliel by a fellow called Kun Tarikoin. So this is amongst his questions that are actually discussed in Bechiris, coming up as Hashem, Bechiris. And this is one of the another question that he asked him. We have one pasuk. We seem to have a contradiction in Parshas Bereishis regarding Hashem's creating the various elements and creatures. We have one pasuk. So this is going to be a question regarding the source of the birds. Hashem created all these creatures, plus the fowl, the birds, the flying entities, from the mayim. Right? Alma and Ma'iver, apparently they were created from water. Uksiv, we have another pasuk, they were created from land. Vayetzer Hashem elokim min adama, kol chayis asadr, right? All the chayis were created out of the adama. And guess what? Vayetzer Hashemayim as well. So here the birds are coming from the adama. Alma mi'ar iver, apparently they were created from the adama, from the earth. So which one? Amar lemin rakak nivru. You're right. You're right and you're right. Rakak is a mix between Mayim and Yabasha. Earth and water. That was his answer. Now the Talmidim who were present were sort of wondering, were expressing this wonderment at his answer. It seemed like far-fetched to them. Ra Talmid of Sur Ram Gamliel notices Talmidim sitting there, sort of looking at it, gazing at each other and you know, with you know, questionable you know, expressions. Amalim, she says to them, what's the big deal? Kasha beinechem shadachisiyas ayvi bekash. You're finding it hard, that difficult, that I just pushed away my enemy, my challenger, with a piece of straw? Meaning, what I answered him wasn't really legitimate. It was just to get him out of the way. I gave him something which was plausible to him, but in reality, ben ha-mayim nivri, you should know, really, the birds were created from mayim only. And although the second pasuk does relate to the Adama, the answer is, the reference to the birds in the second pasuk is not in terms of their life source. Rather, it relates to the second part of the pasuk. The pasuk continues that he brought them to Adam to name them. V'lama havien al Adam likros lan shame. So the reference to the birds is not for the first part of the pasuk. Rather, the second part, they were delivered to Adam Rishon to give them name. But in terms of where they're created from water. Primarily from water. Now, some have a different version of his response. Blashan acher amar lo isi hegmon. That to the hegmon, to this ruler, to this fellow who was challenging him, he actually answered the second way. Ublashan arishan amar lan talmidav. But to his talmidim, he answered truthfully, like the first approach, which is birds are somewhere in between, they're created from this muddy material. Shem dechsev al vayitzer, because the fact is, and in the second pasuk it says Eif Hashemayim efter vayitzer. It's hard to learn that it just means that Eif is referenced in terms of their delivery to Adam Rishon, not in terms of their creation. So if in fact it's describing their creation, and here it says Adama and earlier it says water, you have a clash. Apparently it's a combination of both, a little bit water, a little bit earth. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas. Here comes a bombshell. Ein shchita loif na Torah. Shchita by a behema, that's sourced in the Torah. But by a bird, it's only with the Rabbanim. Not as it's not from a pasuk. Rashi says it's not even Torah shabal peh. Alach l'mesh misiyah, no. It's been the Rabbanim who required a shchita. Perhaps that it be somewhat similar to the animals. In any case, Rashi explains how this works. He says, even if it wasn't a halachically acceptable act of shechita, he killed the animal. Specifically by the simanim area, by the critical, you know, areas, by the chanan deveshet, he calls it nechiro ikur, detaching them, cutting them apart. So, it was an act that related to the simanim, but not a halachically acceptable act of shechita with a knife and done properly. Any way of killing the animal by the way of the simanim is acceptable. However, let's say it just died naturally, it was struck in a different way, then it's called an avela. But if there was an act done to terminate its life in the simanim area, that's sufficient to make it kosher for consumption and, you know, spirit of any tumah. Shenemar, he has a source for this, that birds need not undergo shechita v'shafach. Pasuk says a person will be shafach as dame, spill out the blood, and that's enough. V'shvicha ba'al masagi yachi chaya nami. Hold it, but in that pasuk that you just quoted, it says chaya oy oif v'shafach as dame. So it's not just by a bird, even by a chaya. Shvicha is enough, spilling out the blood. You just told me behema chaya need proper shechita. The answer is a chaya is different. Iskish the psula mikdash. We find it in a different pasuk. The Torah connects the chaya to a carbon which became disqualified, and there it mentions the act of shechita. So we learn that a chaya needs shechita. So we have a source for that. If nami iskish lebehema. Well, once we're working with comparisons, so don't we have a pasuk that we mentioned earlier which compares a'if to behema? Just like a behema needs shechita, a bird as well. What do you mean? We have a pasuk just cited here that by a bird it's just about extracting the blood. You don't need shechita. Well, my chaz is the shadi le'al oif. Shadi achaya. Now, fine, it says v'shafach, but as we said, the pasuk of v'shafach itself makes mention of chaya and oif. So we're picking and choosing, so to speak. We're saying, no, chaya needs shechita because of the other source, but birds doesn't because of v'shafach. Well, we had another pasuk for birds as well, comparing them to the behema. So which way are we going? Why are we choosing the bird and deleting the shechita from there versus the chaya? Says the Gemara, Shadi Achai, Mestava Mishnah Nesolak Mene, makes more sense that the Veshafach relates back to the bird, because that's the one that's cited last in the Pasuk, says Chaya, Oy Oif, and then it's Veshach Mehaz Damai, so it's relating back to the most recently cited example, which is the bird. Mesvi comes a Kash. You're telling me birds don't need Shechita? Hashechet V'nisnam L'B'yadai. So this Mishnah speaks about, relates to kisui hadam, a person shechts an animal, a bird, the blood has to be covered with soil. Provided it was a proper shechita, the animal is now kosher to eat. But otherwise, if there's some sort of accident, some sort of death that occurs, the blood does not need kisui hadam. So what are examples of failed attempts? Hashechet v'nisnam l'biyadai, he tried to do a shechita, and the animal died on him. Anoichar ha'makar, he cut through the, ripped through the simanim or uprooted them, in which case the animal is forbidden. Patam lachas, there's no need to do kisui adam. And we're assuming that we're talking about the items that need kisui adam, which are chayes and oifes. V'armas en shechita loif min ha'Torah. If you're telling me that a bird never needs shechita min ha'Torah, so who cares about the process that occurred? Nicharasai, even if he did nechira, ripped through the simanim, zui shechitasai, for all practical purposes, it accomplishes the same as a shechita. It enables the food for the bird for consumption. L'vay kisei. So why is kisei not in place? A bird needs kisei, provided the proper procedure was done. This is a proper procedure for the bird. You're right. Misavras ba'if. You think this pasuk, which exempts the blood in this case from kisei, is talking about the bird? No. Lo ya b'chaya. So about the chaya, since it requires a proper shechita, which wasn't done, so the animal is not kasha, and the blood doesn't need to be covered by a bird. Almost anything goes. Tashmai comes another kasha. Hashechet v'terech l'dam. So in cases where you have to then bury the blood, let's say he knows he needs the blood. He needs it for some purpose, for some medicinal purpose or whatever. Chayv l'chases. Too bad, you have to cover it. That's your chiyuv. That's a mitzvah to do kisui adam. You can't just siphon away the blood. Ketzer oisa. So what should he do? If he really needs the blood, how do you salvage the blood that needs kisui? The answer is, do a procedure which will not trigger the kisui obligation. Ay neichrei, ay eikrei, do nechira, do akira. And since it was not a proper shechita, there's no din of kisui. My lab ba'if. We turn to the next amud, my lab ba'if. So we're assuming that it's a bird that we're talking about, which is something that typically, whose blood typically can be used for other purposes. The kabayle l'dmei l'yanika. He needs the blood for yanika, Rashi says, to protect his garments from ash, from mold or whatever. So that's the one of the functions of the bird blood. So that's what he needs, and that's what the Rice is talking about. And once he does nechira, there's no need to do kisa, and he can use the blood. Apparently, unless you do a proper act of shechita, as required, the animal is not edible, and the blood doesn't need kisui. So you see that a bird needs kisui. Loi! No, we're not talking about birds. Bechai, we're talking back about an animal which needs a proper shechita. Why would need the blood of an animal? The kabay leila dmei needs its blood, lelaka, to mix into some sort of paint. And in this case, the Braisa says, look, if you need the blood, so ensure that the shechita is not a proper, halachically acceptable shechita, in which case you don't have to do kisin, then you can take the blood and use it for your own purposes. Okay, so we haven't really disproven, you know, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, who holds that ein shechita leif min ha-Torah, it's only the Rabbanon, which we discussed in greater length tomorrow, b'ezras Hashem. So in the meantime, we have the basic halacha of the shechita by the behema, and shechita by the bird in terms of how much you need to cut. By behema it's 2 simanim, by the bird it's 1 siman, by a fish it's just asifa ba'alma, which, as we explained, is relative to their inherent, you know, life force, which needs to be terminated through this act. The simanim that need to be cut through, technically only roiv is required, but as the Gemara said, it's not recommended. Ideally you should cut more to ensure a proper shechita. How do we know that shechita is min atzavah? We have no less than 5 sources, but ultimately the Gemara says it's really Gemara, it's Halacha Mishmei Sinai, the location, the specifics, the psukim are merely to tell you, you don't need to go past that point, you don't need to do a full slice, a full cut through. Later, Shavi Gistra, we had an interesting back and forth regarding the the interpretation in the psukim describing the creation of the oifos, which were resolved, and we have Ravida's Chiddush, that the shechita of the oif is only midrabban. To be continued by Hashem tomorrow, all the best and much hatzlacha.